weeks. They entered and walked through the small foyer. Luigi nodded knowingly at the clerk behind the front desk. Joel managed a passable buongiorno, but kept walking, hoping to avoid a more involved reply. They climbed three flights of stairs and walked to the end of a narrow hallway. Luigi had the key to room 30, a simple but nicely appointed suite with windows on three sides and a view of a canal below. "This is the nicest one," Luigi said. "Nothing fancy, but adequate." "You should have seen my last room." Joel tossed his bag on the bed and began opening curtains. Luigi opened the door to the very small closet. "Look here. You have four shirts, four slacks, two jackets, two pairs of shoes, all in your size. Plus, a heavy wool overcoat. It gets quite cold here in Treviso." Joel stared at his new wardrobe. The clothes were hanging perfectly, all pressed and ready to wear. The colors were subdued, tasteful, and every shirt could be worn with every jacket and pair of slacks. He finally shrugged and said, "Thanks." "In the drawer over there you'll find a belt, socks, underwear, everything you need. In the bathroom you'll find all the necessary toiletries." "What can I say?" "And here on the desk are two sets of glasses." Luigi picked up a pair of glasses and held them to the light. The small rectangular lenses were secured by thin black metal, very European frames. "Armani," Luigi said with a trace of pride.
"Reading glasses?"
"Yes and no. I suggest you wear them every moment you're outside this room. Part of the disguise, Marco. Part of the new you."
"You should have met the old one."
"No, thanks. Appearance is very important to Italians, especially those of us from here in the north. Your attire, your glasses, your haircut, everything must be put together properly or you will get noticed."
Joel was suddenly self-conscious, but then what the hell? He had been wearing prison garb for longer than he cared to remember. Back in the glory days, he routinely dropped $3,000 for a finely tailored suit.
Luigi was still lecturing. "No shorts, no black socks and white sneakers, no polyester slacks, no golf shirts, and please, don't start getting fat." "How do you say kiss my ass in Italian?"
"We'll get to that later.
Habits and customs are important. They're easy to learn and quite enjoyable. For example, never order cappuccino after 10:30 in the morning. But an espresso can be ordered at any hour of the day. Did you know that?"
"I did not."
"Only tourists order cappuccino after lunch or dinner. A disgrace. All that milk on a full stomach."
For a moment, Luigi frowned as if he might just vomit for good measure.
Joel raised his right hand and said, "I swear I'll never do it."
"Have a seat," Luigi said, waving at the small desk and its two chairs. They sat down and tried to get comfortable. He continued.
"First, the room. It's in my name, but the staff thinks that a Canadian businessman will be staying here for a couple of weeks."
"A couple of weeks?"
"Yes. Then you'll move to another location."
Luigi said this as ominously as possible, as if squads of assassins were already in Treviso looking for Joel Backman.
"From this moment on, you will be leaving a trail. Keep that in mind. Everything you do, everyone you meet, they're all part of your trail. The secret of survival is to leave behind as few tracks as possible. Speak to very few people, including the clerk at the front desk and the housekeeper. Hotel personnel watch their guests, and they have good memories. 6 months from now, someone might come to this very hotel and start asking questions about you. He might have a photograph. He might offer bribes, and the clerk might suddenly remember you and the fact that you spoke almost no Italian."
"I have a question."
"I have very few answers."
"Why here?
Why a country where I cannot speak the language? Why not England or Australia, some place where I could blend in easier?"
"That decision was made by someone else, Marco, not me."
"That's what I figured."
"Then why did you ask?"
"I don't know."
"Can I apply for a transfer?"
"Another useless question."
"A bad joke, not a bad question.
Can we continue?"
"Yes.
For the first few days, I will take you to lunch and dinner.
We'll move around, always going to different places. Treviso is a nice city with lots of cafes, and we'll try them all. You must start thinking of the day when I will not be here. Be careful who you meet. I have another question. Yes, Marco. It's about money. I really don't like being broke. Are you guys planning to give me an allowance or something? I'll wash your car and do other chores. What is allowance? Cash. Okay, money in my pocket. Don't worry about money. For now, I take care of the bills. You will not be hungry. All right. Luigi reached deep in the barn jacket and pulled out a cell phone. This is for you. And who exactly am I going to call? Me, if you need something. My number is on the back. Joel took the phone and laid it on the desk. I'm hungry. I've been dreaming of a long lunch with pasta and wine and dessert, and of course espresso, certainly not cappuccino at this hour, then perhaps the required siesta. I've been in Italy for 4 days now, and I've had nothing but corn chips and sandwiches. What do you say? Luigi glanced at his watch. I know just the place, but first some more business. You speak no Italian, right? Joel rolled his eyes and exhaled mightily in frustration. Then he tried to smile and said, Nope, I've never had the occasion to learn Italian, or French, or German, or anything else. I'm an American, okay, Luigi? My country is larger than all of Europe combined. All you need is English over there. You're Canadian, remember? Okay, whatever, but we're isolated, just us and the Americans. My job is to keep you safe. Thank you. And to help us do that, you need to learn a lot of Italian as quickly as possible. I understand. You will have a tutor, a young student by the name of Ermanno. You will study with him in the morning and again in the afternoon. The work will be difficult. For how long? As long as it takes. That depends on you. If you work hard, then in 3 or 4 months, you should be on your own. How long did it take you to learn English? My mother is American. We spoke English at home, Italian everywhere else. That's cheating. What else do you speak? Spanish, French, a few more. Ermanno is an excellent teacher. The classroom is just down the street. Not here in the hotel? No, no, Marco. You must think about your trail. What would the bellboy or the housekeeper say if a young man spent 4 hours a day in this room with you? God forbid. The housekeeper would listen at the door and hear your lessons. She would whisper to her supervisor. Within a day or two, the entire staff would know that the Canadian businessman is studying intensely, 4 hours a day. Gotcha. Now about lunch. Leaving the hotel, Joel managed to smile at the clerk, a janitor, and the bell captain without uttering a word. They walked one block to the center of Treviso, the Piazza dei Signori, the main square lined with arcades and cafes. It was noon, and the foot traffic was heavier as the locals hurried about for lunch. The air was getting colder, though Joel was quite comfortable tucked inside his new wool overcoat. He tried his best to look Italian. Inside or outside? Luigi asked. Inside, Joel said, and they ducked into the Café Beltrame, overlooking the piazza. A brick oven near the front was heating the place, and the aroma of the daily feast was steaming from the rear. Luigi and the head waiter both spoke at the same time. Then they laughed, then a table was found by a front window. We're in luck, Luigi said as they took off their coats and sat down. The special today is faraona con polenta. And what might that be? Guinea fowl with polenta. What else? Luigi was studying one of the blackboards hanging from a rough-hewn crossbeam. Panzerotte di funghi al burro. Fried mushroom pastries. Conchiglie con cavafiori. Pasta shells with cauliflower. Spiedino di carne misto alla griglia. Grilled shish kebab of mixed meats. I'll have it all. Their house wine is pretty good. I prefer red. Within minutes, the cafe was crowded with locals, all of whom seemed to know each other. A jolly little man with a dirty white apron sped by the table, slowed just long enough to make eye contact with Joel, and wrote down nothing as Luigi spat out a long list of what they wanted to eat.